Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6. Again, I mentioned that we would leave just a business report back there, and I think it's back there somewhere. And if you want to just get a statement, you can, but we'll not have a business meeting. No necessity for it. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm just going to start in verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But thine eye be evil, thine whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? We usually aim at something with a single eye, a single focus. That's what that's saying here. That we're focused singular and not double sided in what we're looking at. No man, verse 24, can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, yet nor yet gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall be we clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your Bible and for the opportunity now to take a look at just a simple truth, a simple concept that is so necessary for our lives, so necessary and important for our well-being and for complete contentment and fulfillment in our lives. Help us to hear that from you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Seek God's will first. Seek first the kingdom of God. What does God want? I have a lot of wants. You have a lot of wants. My flesh wants a lot of things that I don't need. What does God want? And is God's way the best way? Does God really have a good way for me? If I do what God wants first, will I lose? Well, I suppose you'll lose something. But will you lose something important? Will you lose something that you really need? Is there anything that you need that God's going to not let you have? Is there anything that you really need in your life between the time you were born till the time you die that you're going to go without because you followed God? Really? Is there anything he can't supply? I don't think there is. I don't think there's anything that's out there that God will not see to it that we need if we'll put him first like we need to. We must put him first. And Hannah was a great example of that, of saying, God, I so desperate. Now think about this. She was so desperate to have a child. And by the way, she asked for one. She asked for one child, one son. And yet she said, I'll give him right back to you. As soon as he's weaned, I'll give him back to you. That's how much I want this child. She didn't want it for herself. She wanted him just so that she could say she bare a child for the Lord, for his glory, and she put him first. I didn't mention this morning, but by the way, what do you think? When Hannah was weaning her son, when Hannah was weaning Samuel, and I don't know how many years old it was before he was done and ready to be taken over to the tabernacle and live there. But what do you think they were doing? What do you think they were doing? I mean, do you think that Hannah was watching soap operas and making sure she was in the tanning bed every week? And what do you think Hannah was doing? What do you think was on her mind? I think Hannah was constantly talking to Samuel, singing songs to Samuel. I remember even before our kids were born and after they were born, we were instantly singing things and playing. Of course, Hannah didn't have electronics, but we were playing music to our children. We were, why? Because it's never too early to start. They retain things, and putting them first, putting God first and putting them a close second to God, but putting God first and wanting God's will to be done and seeing that God's will and what God wants is first place, and then saying, I'm going to let them be a sacrifice. And so Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you give yourself first. Hannah did that. I mean, your child is the fruit of your body, and Hannah did that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 8, 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed to the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. They were so poor, and yet they were so generous that they literally had to beg us to receive the gift. Verse 4. And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, we didn't even want to receive it because we just felt like they needed to keep it. But they prayed us to keep, to take it, and treated us that we would receive the gift. Verse 5, and this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Notice, they first did what? What did they first do? They gave themselves. You know, the key to all this is giving yourself. Hannah really gave herself before she gave Samuel. And what I started to say is, she didn't know she was going to have other children after Samuel. There was no guarantee she'd have other children. What did God do? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. God gave Hannah 5 more children after Samuel. Seek first the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you to think about the first things first. You've heard this expression, put first things first. Priority. What's your priority? You know, your priority is what you put first. Seek God's will first. Put him first. Give yourself first. If you'll just get that nailed down, I'm going to give God first of everything, and he's going to be number one. We would change some of the things that we do. Well, there'd be some things that no longer become priority or no longer necessary because we would put him first instead. What happens is we get out of sorts and we forget to put him first, or we get away from first. Look at Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13 is the story of Abraham. Abraham was called of God to go to the promised land, and so he did. In Genesis chapter number 12, and then we'll get to chapter 13 in a minute. And so it says that Abraham was called, and Abraham passed through the land, and it says that in verse number 7, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord, Bethel, meaning the house of God. And so he built an altar and he's worshiping God. But then it says in verse 10, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. He left the altar of God. He left the house of God, Bethel meaning the house of God. He got away from the house of God because of a famine. It reminds me in the book of Ruth when the Elimelech and his wife decided they had to leave Bethlehem and go into Moab because of a famine. Listen, the economy always gets us motivated, and the economy was bad, and there's a famine, and we're getting hungry, so they go into Egypt thinking we got to stay there. But they've gotten away from the house of God. Bethel means house of God. He's gotten away from the house of God. He's gone down into Egypt. How many of you know Egypt was a bad deal? It's always a bad deal. And Abram ended up lying about his wife, Sarah, so that they wouldn't kill him. And then he ended up picking up some servant girl named Hagar. That was a big problem later on. And he just picked up a lot of baggage. Well, finally, he gets out of Egypt. They kind of tell him to leave. They didn't appreciate his lying. They were more honorable than he was. And so at the end of chapter 12, he's pretty much kind of asked, you know, kind of, we're not real happy with you. And so chapter 13, verse 1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver. Oh, see, he's rich, so that must be a good thing. He picked up some baggage he shouldn't have got down in Egypt. Verse 3, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, and the place, now here we go, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And by the way, between chapter 12, where he was at Bethel, all the way until chapter 13 and verse number 4, we don't see him calling on the name of the Lord. But finally he gets back to Bethel, back to the house of God. And then it says where he originally was at the first. Sometimes we know where we're supposed to be and we're in the right place. And then we get away from the right place. We get away from the house of God. We get away from church. We get away from the place we ought to be. And we get ourselves in trouble. Listen, there are people, you know them. I won't mention them by name, but you know them. They at one time sat here, but they got away from the house of God. They maybe decided they needed to move. They needed to go to a different place. Maybe the job was better, or maybe the grass was greener, and sad to say, they're not even in church tonight. And sadder to say even than that, they're not even married tonight. Why? Because when you leave where you're supposed to be and you get out of first place, which is where God is, and you don't put God first, things happen. And Bethel was where he was at the first. That's where he needed to get back to. And so that first, that word first, is mentioned again. Notice here some ideas about first and some principles here. Look with me in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Won't read the whole story. But 1 Kings chapter 3 is the story of Solomon. God appeared to Solomon in a dream. And God said, Solomon, what will you want? What do you want? What I'll give you. Whatever you ask, what do you want? Solomon answered in verse number 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that they may discern, that I may discern between the good and the bad. For who is able to judge this thy great, so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. And the Lord God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. What did Solomon ask for first? What was his number one request? What did he ask for? He just said, give me gold, silver, protection, long life. No, wisdom. Seek first the kingdom of God, and he'll add all these things to you. By the way, not only did God give Solomon wisdom, he gave him so much wealth that they were making silver and gold decorations just to decorate his landscape. I mean, that's how much wealth he had. Listen, you put God first. You recognize what's important. Oh, yes, I'd love to have health and I'd love to have wealth, but what I need most is wisdom from God. I need what God has for me. I need that first. That's got to be number one. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, it's a story of Elijah, and he goes to the widow of Zarephath, and he talks to the widow of Zarephath. God sent him there, and he gets there and finds that the widow of Zarephath has hardly anything left. Her and her son are just about ready to eat their last supper. They're about to eat the last and final meal before they starve to death. And he meets her there in verse 10. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. He's a little demanding, isn't he? Now, who is Elijah? He's a man of God. Verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. We're going to eat our last meal, and you want me to make you some bread. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake, what? First, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. If it had been me right about there, I think I would have said, oh, well, who do you think you are? You know? But he said, because God's not going to let your bale run out of meal, and God's not going to let your oil fail, And so verse 15, she did what he said. She fed him first. Think about that. This guy shows up. She's a widow with a child. They're about to starve to death. They're on their last meal. And he says, feed me first. Listen, God's man said, feed me first. That's what you should do. And she did it. And you know what the rest of the chapter says? They didn't run out of food. They had enough for the rest of the entire famine. And at the end of the story, the boy dies and Elijah brings him back to life through the power of God. Now, what would have happened if she hadn't put Elijah first? She'd have starved to death. Listen, sometimes we have to say by faith, I'm going to put God first. And that might include putting what I know to be right before God and giving God's man or God's person something first. And so she did that. Without question. I'm amazed at her faith. You know, Jesus mentioned her in the New Testament. He talked about her faith, the widow of Zarephath, who actually was outside of the nation of Israel up north, in Tyre and Sidon. Look with me in Haggai chapter 1. Haggai, that's a book we don't go to very often. I know it's in here. I found him earlier today. Zephaniah, Haggai. Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 4. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Haggai chapter 1 verse 4. Is it time for you, God says? Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? He's talking about the temple. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Boy, have you ever felt like verse 6? You know what, I just want to stop here and say something. Being a Christian and being right with God does not mean you're going to be rich or have a great income. But you know what is a huge blessing that most people don't, we don't understand. We look at $30 an hour or we look at $50 an hour and we look at that side of it. You know the side that God blesses us more usually than the income is that God keeps the bag sewed up. Anybody ever have holes in your bag? Ever wonder why? You know, listen, he says, you sow, but you bring in little. You drink, but you're not filled. You clothe you, but you're not warm. And you earn wages, and you put it into a bag, and there's a hole in the bottom of the bag. Verse 7, he says, consider your ways. Stop and look at what you're doing. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. What's he saying? Put me first. You got your sealed houses, and my house isn't finished. Put me first. Put me first, and watch what happens. Listen, I don't know your particular situation. I'm not even preaching this because of money at all. I'm just saying that a lot of times we just don't put God first. Boy, have you ever been tempted? Have you ever looked at the chunk that you give to missions and say, boy, I sure could use that somewhere else. I mean, anybody ever look at it that way? I mean, be honest. Have you ever looked at some of those things? Boy, I could do this with this time. Let me tell you something. I'm too scared not to put him first. I'm too scared of missing out on what God would have for me. And I'm telling you right now, I'm standing here tonight blessed and taken care of over and over and over again. And it's not because he necessarily gave me a raise. A lot of times it's just because he sewed up the holes. With that in mind, look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Last Old Testament book. Malachi 3 verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he answers, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I like the, and like sewing the holes in the bag, look at what he says in verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Tithing is something that goes first. The problem with us, if you ever struggle with tithes and offerings, here's probably where the problem is. You're doing your budget and you're paying your bills and you're saying, all right, now God, as long as I got enough left over, I'll give you what's yours. Does it ever work that way? No. What do you got to do? You got to put him where? First. It's got to be the first thing you do. It's got to be the first thing that comes out of the income. It's where you start. It's called the first fruits. We'll get to that chapter in a minute, but in Proverbs chapter 3, it's called the first fruits, not the last fruits. It's the first, but the first fruits are great. Yeah, but it's the first fruits. If I was a Christian business owner, I wouldn't have the first dollar of my business in a plaque hanging on the wall behind my desk. Have you ever seen that? The first dollar of my business. You know why I wouldn't have it up there? Because it would go in the offering plate. That's why. The first fruits of all our increase. Why? Because God will take care of us. Put him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. Look with me now at Proverbs chapter 3. I mentioned it a minute ago. I guess I should have just quoted it, but Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the leftovers. That's not what it says. There's that word again. First, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase, so that shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with thy first fruits. Now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your job charity is babysitting, or your job is some simple thing that you mow the grass for somebody and you get an allowance or you get a little pay from, and you get $10. Listen, I used to get $10 a week. I thought I was pretty rich. I gave a dollar, ends my tithe. I just did that. Why? It was something I knew was right. My parents were doing it. I learned it. I heard it. I decided I was going to do it for myself. And I want to say right now that starting at age 12, starting at age 13, and getting a habit of that, by the time I was married, it was such a habit. It was such a fixed budget for me that it wasn't a struggle. And I married someone who also believed in it. And it became something, and so I could do tithes and offerings, 10% and over and above offerings on top of that. I could do both tithes and offerings. And when I don't, I'm robbing God, the Bible says. And so first fruits. Now, what's interesting is we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You say, I don't like this talking about money. I don't talk about money very often, but when it has to do with putting God first, this certainly has something to do with it. How many of us know that a lot of times our wallet is really where our worship is? And so 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians 16. I don't always remember because I haven't been a teenager for many years. It's been a long time since I was a teenager, seemed like. I don't really always remember to teach stuff like this. But I was tithing on my lawn mowing, Grant, Sam. I was tithing on my lawn mowing money. I was tithing on, I remember years ago, I was talking to my friend Spencer, and he was saying, what's a tithe? He and I were just teens, and he said, what exactly is a tithe? I said, oh. So I was telling him, we were down in my bedroom, and I was trying to explain tithe, and I said, you know what? I said, I got my records. The treasurer always would give our church records, and I got my records. And so here I was, Matt Furs, didn't even have a car, but I, had my 10-speed, had my lawnmower, and here's my giving records. And I pull it out, and my giving records was da-da-da-da-da, whatever it was, it was this much money. I said, this is how much money I gave last year. And I said, you know what? I just know that God takes care of me, and God, he just blesses. I said, and then I had a little piggy bank. I said, I have no idea what's in here, but let me show you. And so I opened it up, and we just kind of poured it out on the bed, and we started counting it. And it was dollars and change, and we started counting. I am not kidding you. The giving record total was equal to the amount I had in the piggy bank. It was like God was teaching Spencer something, you know what I mean? I was like, whoa, that's cool. I had no idea. I had no idea the conversation would come up. But you know, God does that. God gives it back, but you have to trust him. And how many of us know that God has a better insurance plan than anybody else? I mean, God's insurance plan is so awesome compared to the world's. And no matter what insurance plan there is out there, God's is better. And he can sew up those holes. And I just want to say, 1 Corinthians 16. Notice something about this idea of first, putting God first. Now, concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the what day of the week? Now, isn't this interesting? Your first fruits are to be given on the what day of the week? Now, isn't that amazing? First fruits on the first day of the... Why? Because he's to be first. That's why. Where did they come up with this first day of the week anyway? Well, Jesus rose from the grave on the first day of the week. And the church began to meet on the first day of the week. And they honored the Lord with the first day of their week and the first fruits of their increase. That's how they just honored and respected God. And it started with Abraham, who never had any law. There was no Ten Commandments. There was no Mosaic law when Abraham was alive. But Abraham said way back in Genesis, I will give you the tithe. Why? He just knew that's what he's supposed to do. It wasn't law. It was something that he knew was in his heart. By God's grace, he knew he was supposed to do it. Hey, you know what? Sometimes we just kind of fudge a little bit. We say, church sounds like they're doing pretty good. I'm going to stop here and say something. This message is not because the church isn't doing good. This message is because sometimes when the church is doing good, someone says, I think I don't have to give mine and the church will be okay. Hey, you're thinking about it all wrong. We're not giving to the church. We're not giving to the pastor. We're not giving because we love the little kids. We're giving because God is who we're giving to. It's for God. It's for his glory. We're giving to him. It's first because it's him. It doesn't matter if it seems so insignificant. It's first because it belongs to him. Back when we were in Newcastle, Wilma and I were at one time the only tithers in the church. It's kind of hard to have church when the pastor's family is the only one giving or tithing. But you know what? The temptation was, man, who cares? Who's going to even notice? We got the records, folks. If you want to go dig them out, they're probably under the crawl space somewhere, but they're in a box somewhere. We got the record. We still obeyed God, and we still trusted God to honor and obey and follow his own promise that he would honor and respect and pour out blessings for us honoring him. And we did. This is not something we do because it's some kind of a cute little financial system. And so here these people were said, on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. It's not the same amount, is it? It's proportionate. It's percentage-wise. As God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, Psalm chapter 37. Let me just have you go there. I love Psalm 37. I was reading out of Psalm 37 this morning. Psalm 37. Verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm going to tell you right now, there's been times when we were down to the last meal in the bottom of the barrel. There's times when we had macaroni every night for the week. There's times when we just had barely enough gas to get from point A to point B. I've been young, now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Brother Bill was telling the story the other night about how that he didn't know how he's gonna get all the way to wherever he needed to go, but someone had stuck money inside his gas cap. And when he got to the gas station, he unscrewed the gas cap, and there was cash in the gas cap. I mean, God just knows how to, he knows how to do it. He knows how to feed his, look, is it a good advertisement if God's children who are being faithful and obedient are starving to death? Is that a good advertisement for him? No. God will take care. But listen, if there are times in our life where something's wrong, we need to go back and take a look at, are we putting him first? Are we where we're supposed to be on the first day of the week? And by the way, the world now calls Sunday the weekend. That's just how the world thinks. A lot of the calendars have got Sunday down at the end. No. Sundays are the first day of the week. It's not part of the weekend. It's the first fruits and the first place of our life. I've spent a lot of time talking about that tonight, but seek God's will first. Give of yourself first, and then all the other things you have will go along with it. Your children will be first, will be given first to God before they're anything else. You'll not put your children above God if He's first. I don't want to brag, but I'm telling you right now, we have learned that and we've believed it and we have put our children first. And our children are blessed in a crazy amount of ways. We're just thrilled with how awesome it is that our children have been blessed by God. And Wilma and I never sat down and said, all right, let's see if we can make one of our kids a brain and really smart. Her and I could have never made it happen. Especially me. Thank you. God does those things. God does those things, not us. God does. Put Him first. Seek Him first, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, there's some other things that we need to put first as well, besides our personal life and our giving and our children and our family. And like Hannah,
but if I give Samuel to the Lord, I'll never see
him. No, she saw him. She saw him, and from afar she was blessed, and she enjoyed him immensely. And I said it this morning, I'll say it again. There are a lot of women out there who are not proud of their sons, who are not thankful for their sons, who are not blessed by their sons. But Hannah was, and Hannah still is. She's been up in heaven for a couple thousand years now with her son. You tell me if Hannah lost out on anything. She didn't. Now, a couple other things that we need to look at is that should be first. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Verse 21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, in verse 21, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. There's anger and rage that we get ourselves into and things that we say. Verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way, semicolon, first be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. God says, I know what you've done and I know what you are, and so don't try to come give me an offering if you're not right with your brother about something. You go take care of that first and then come give me an honorable offering. That's what God's saying. First reconciliation. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote, that's a small sliver, splinter, that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. You got this huge beam stuck in your own eye, so to speak, and you're pointing out the splinter and the mote in someone else's eye. What does Jesus say in verse 5? First, cast out the beam out of it. By the way, he does not say, don't judge. He says, don't judge hypocritically. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye. And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Hypocrisy has to go. If you want to parent children, if they can point to your hypocrisy, you're going to have to say, you know what? You're right. That beam is in my own eye. Here I am getting after you kids for this, and I've done it myself. Hypocrisy has to be cast out. The beam in our own eye has to be pulled, and so first pull it before you try to correct someone else. Another first is over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number one. Actually, let's just start in verse 3. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. What does that mean? Honor widows that are widows indeed. In other words, make sure her husband's really dead. No, that's not what it means. What does it mean? Well, verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable for God. Now she that is a widow indeed, in other words, desolate, she has no children, she has no nephews to take care of her. Then she's a widow indeed. You see what it's saying there? A widow indeed is someone who has no family that she used to take care of, and now they can requite back to her and take care of her. You know, it's our job to make sure our parents are taken care of. And if someone is a widow and they have children, those children are responsible for her before the church is made responsible for her. That's what it's saying there. That's the principle given there, that they first requite. And what we see today is a lot of not happening. This day of Mother's Day, requiting and paying back and taking care of our own parents in their later years. Sometimes we need medical help because of the condition they're in, and maybe we have to take them somewhere where they can live and have medical care, but taking care of them and requiting them. And then also look at this, Luke chapter 14. Luke 14 and verse 25, another first. Luke 14, verse 27, let's just start there. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Before you start something, sit down first and count the cost. Verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he able to with 10,000 to go to battle that come with 20,000. The idea here is that we, with wisdom, sit down first and count the cost. Sometimes people declare, I'm going to do this. I'm going to build this. I'm going to go here. And they haven't counted the cost first. They have not sat down and count the cost to see what it will take for it to be done, and understanding that God would have them to do it. Now, the last one I want to show you is Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. I guess it kind of goes back to where we started. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say that are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. You can't stand those liars and those deceivers. Verse 3, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. You have stood and you have been patient and you have labored and you have stood up against the false apostles. Verse 4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Was there ever a time where you were really more in love with God than you are tonight? When you're more excited about the things of God than you are tonight? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I said this earlier, there are people that aren't even married tonight that used to be a part of Mountain View Baptist Church, let alone in church. What happened? They left their first love. Oh yeah, they stopped falling. They weren't in love with each other anymore. No. They left their love for God first. That's where it started. They left it behind And pretty soon they didn't even love each other anymore. Don't leave your first love, which is God. Miss Wilma will not stand up and say this, so I'll say it for her. She's not married to me and still with me because of me. She's still with me because of him. He said, oh, come on, she loves you. Yeah, I know, but I'm sure you all believe it when I say I'm not easy to be married to. Don't say a word over there because you ain't either. Brian's not married yet, but he's going to graduate this week. Plenty of time for marriage down the road, but let me tell you something, Brian, let me tell you right now. The girl that will be the best wife for you is the one who loves him more than you. The one who puts him first, not you first. We love it when our boyfriend or our girlfriend puts us first, because after all, we kind of think of ourselves as a god anyway. So we're totally in agreement with them that they would worship us like we do. You know, I mean, we're selfish by nature. You know what, though? When you have someone who puts God above you, you have someone that you know is faithful to God more than you. And will preach to you when you need it, and will pray for you, and will love you, not because of you, but because of God. Don't leave your first love, because if you leave him, you might leave a lot of things. And you will lose a lot of things. Put him first. Again, what's our verse? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. I'm starting to become an older man. I suppose in 5 or 10 years I could be a grandpa. Miss Slagle is shaking her head. Well, it wasn't until today that I didn't know you were an old lady till today. And I'm starting to realize in my older years, I'm starting to realize that there ain't nothing that I don't have that I really need. Because if I had it, or if I didn't have it, it's because God doesn't want me to have it. Everything I need, he takes care of. And if there's anything I don't have that I'm supposed to have, it's because of my doing, not his. But I've learned that he takes care of his kids. I've been young and now I'm getting older, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I have seen him bless and take care and watch over. I have seen him do it over and over again. And I am thankful that the Lord is my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. Put him first. The sheep has to just keep his eye on the shepherd. Just put him first. Oh, we get some wild ideas sometimes. Oh, I think I know better than the shepherd. Don't do it. Don't even go there. The sheep just need to follow the shepherd. I was talking about Hannah a couple weeks ago. I'm not the least bit worried about my children finding the right one at the right time. As long as they'll just keep following the Lord, it will happen just like he wants it to. We can trust him. And Hannah in the Bible learned to trust God, and God blessed her and multiplied her family and showed her great things with her own son, who he was using immensely. And it was all to his honor and glory, and Hannah got to enjoy the whole ride. Seek him first. First things first. There's some things tonight we talked about that need to be first place. Maybe God spoke to your heart about one of them. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, help us tonight to stop and take a close look at the first things that need to be first. Giving versus holding back, and trusting and putting you first in our life and everything. And laying ourselves on the altar and not taking anything off of the altar. In reconciliation, making sure that we are reconciled with those that we have wronged, and that we do our best to reconcile with those that maybe have wronged us. And being reconciled and forgiving and forgetting. And not hypocrites. Not walking around with a beam in our own eye trying to judge others. But recognizing the job of just getting that beam pulled before we even try to talk about someone else's issue. And respecting our authority and our loved ones, our parents, and recognizing the obligation that we have to requite them, to pay them back, to honor them, even if we don't feel like we need to pay them back, but to honor them, and to count the cost before we set out on something new, so that we're not wasting time and resources, but we stop to count the cost and first sit down and count the cost of what it takes to serve you and to do what you'd have us to do and to evaluate what we need to lighten and get rid of. And that we would get back to just loving you first. Whatever else is there, whatever idol is in the way, whatever we've put in place of you, whatever priority we have above yours, that you would clearly show that to us and cause us to despise it and to knock it off of the pedestal and to put you first place where you belong. And that our lives, our calendar, our checkbook, our daily living, our testimony would be a demonstration of first things are God's in our life, that are yours, that they belong to you, that we sought you first. And then, without wanting it or aiming for it, help those who put you first to see all the blessings added to them in your due time. Help us, Lord, to be people that are putting you first. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.